Well, to that end, we are now joined by the head coach of the Vancouver Giants, Parker Burgess, on a night where his team falls 9-2 to the visiting Kelowna Rockets. And Parker, a great opening period, I thought, for your team tonight, the way you matched up against Kelowna. Obviously, they're a tough team. They're hosting the Memorial Cup this year for a reason, but were you shocked at the way things went sideways in the second period?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, to your point, it's disappointing because I really did like our start and put ourselves in a good position scoring first there on the power play. And you know, but for us tonight, I thought at times it was self-inflicting wounds, you know, and taking nine minors against the team like Kelowna is just not a recipe for success. I didn't agree maybe on all the calls, but we you know, in the second period, I felt like, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit. You know, granted, they're a good team and give them credit. But, you know, we talked after the game just about when you go through adversity or something bad happens in a game, you can't compound that mistake or that error by going off script or trying to do too much. And I think what happened was, you know, we go into the second period with some life. It's a 1-1 game. We have a great crowd. And we make an error on a face-off win in the neutral zone that leads to a goal 8 seconds in. And, you know, you got to be able to manage the puck, and especially when you're out against three guys like Halliburton, Wench, and Aginla. And so then it's 2-1, which, you know, those things happen. Mistakes happen. And then an unfortunate one where, you know, Tafari's bringing the puck in front, and the guy whacks his stick, and then it's 3-1. And then it's, you know, some guys get frustrated. Some guys go into a bit of a shell. We start taking penalties. You know, we took a penalty after they had scored, so you're compounding the mistake of getting scored on with now you're going to be shorthanded. We put ourselves, you know, down in a 6-on-4 situation because we took a penalty. So, you know, just mistakes that when you play good teams, nobody's going to feel sorry for us. And when they smell blood, they're gonna put the pressure on. And then you're going into the third period 7-2. So there's some positives to take away from it in the first period. And some of our younger guys I thought played well. But again, we just can't make that many errors and expect to come out without the results.
Coach, how do you expect the guys that you've had to put in the lineup to not make those mistakes? I mean, I'm shocked. I'm shocked with what you've had to put in the lineup. Not disparaging the players, but you're meeting some of the guys the day of the game who's playing that night. I mean, you haven't had a lot of... I mean, there's just not WHL experience out there with some of those guys. Now, look, Penticton, Everett, Prince George, Kelowna. You haven't scored two goals more than those in any of those games, and I'm not surprised. Where are you going to get the offense? You can't. So I'll answer it for you, okay? You don't. The kids will work hard. You had some tremendous efforts in that series of games there. I check a box, and effort there, absolutely, you can check it. But, Coach, you're woefully low on talent there. I mean, this is good for next year. You had one pairing out there, Matejczuk and Chingwaru. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you can't make excuses, though. It's you got to find ways, and that's, you know, you're learning. And obviously for us, you know, when you go through a season with continuity in your lineup and on your roster, then, you know, you do a lot of your teaching and explaining early in the season, and then things progress and get better. And right now for us, we're just in a situation where every week is teaching and getting new guys up to speed and, you know, putting some guys that are you know, now in elevated and thrust in elevated roles and putting more expectations on them. So we understand, like, we're you know, it, but we have to keep our focus on the process. Like, we may not get the results every night given the circumstances, but we can control our effort and we can control our discipline and how we respond to certain situations. And that's, you know, after the game, like, that group didn't need me to come in and yell at them or scream at them and you know, kick them when they're down. Obviously, nobody's proud of the score, and we had a tremendous crowd tonight, and we're all frustrated, and there's a level of embarrassment when you have a game like that, but we got to learn from it, and we got to be better from it, and we know we will, and then we've got to be able to be mentally resilient enough to put this behind us because we have an opportunity tomorrow at 4 o'clock against Red Deer, and, you know, just let it go, and you can own it tonight and address the things that the errors that we made or the mistakes that we made, and then we find a way to bring energy tomorrow, bring belief tomorrow, and find a way to win a hockey game.
Is this one of those weekends where you're glad to be playing back-to-backs and get to put this one behind you immediately?
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully, you know, the emotions that are tied in that they're feeling right now, whether it's anger, frustration, embarrassment, disappointment, whatever feelings, you know, they need to be able to harness those feelings and turn them into motivation and show pride and character. And that's the biggest thing. Like, we're in the process of building this thing and establishing a culture and standards. And you know, sometimes over a 68-game schedule, you're going to get kicked in the teeth. And so now, you know, you're looking at the character of your team to come out and respond with a, again, forget and take the focus off the results, but have the compete and the pride and the effort and the belief that we need to continue to move forward.
What are you learning about this group individually?
Individually as players, like, we're getting to see obviously some guys in some elevated roles. And I've been through something similar in a you know, a past job where, you know, we went through a bit of a rebuild and opened up the door and the gate for some of our younger guys, and you're going to take your lumps. But, you know, these are the challenges of coaching, and it's really easy. You know, I'm fortunate. I have an uncle that coached in the Western League, and he's in town, and we were able to meet for lunch last night. And, you know, he just laughed. He said, when you have those teams with a bunch of superstars and a bunch of depth, you know, people say great job coaching, but really you're just, you know, you're opening up the gate and letting the horses go. And these are the real times where you have to coach and you have to teach. And, you know, their emotions are very affected to this. Like, they care. They want to win. They want to do well. I can tell you that 1,000%. It's actually, you know, we were making comments this week as a staff, like, you know, we got to practice, you know, Tuesday through Friday, and just the environment and the way they interact with one another, it's going in the right direction from a culture standpoint in a locker room. We've added some really great pieces. Even, you know, even the guys that are hurt are in there, and they're working and they're smiling and they're trying to get better every day. They're doing video. So it's a group that's hungry to get better. And you just got to, unfortunately, at times you got to go through these difficult learning lessons that nobody enjoys being a part of, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, and we just kind of have to ride through it and work our way through it.
Won't keep you long, okay? We want to get focused on Red here very, very quickly. But I don't think we can ever, I won't ever minimize the offense that Preston and Lynn bring. They make other players better, and I think that's the biggest thing missing. Not the goals that those two guys would score. Now, you got Tittle back out of lineup, too. But those two guys that got injured, those were two key players that were offense generators. And that's what's missing. And you just can't create, like I said before, you can't hit a button and say, score now. You go out. But there were some positives. I want to talk very quickly about Tomic. Wow. He's found another gear.
Yeah, and that's you see that when you open up the runway for the younger players. And, you know, Tobias came in and there was a transition period for him, 17-year-old kid learning English, the culture. But you're also playing behind some really great players who are your top six or maybe on your top power play. And then you open up the runway for him and you give him more responsibility. And, I mean, he has to. We don't really have a choice. Like, he's, you know, with the moves that we made, the injuries that we have, he's got to play and he's got to produce. And he seems to be taking on that challenge fairly well. Like, I thought he skated well tonight. He protected pucks. He was taking it to the net. You know, they said the first one that that went in was goalie interference, that he, you know, interfered with the goalie. But, you know, he was a dangerous player. And it's for him, it's just habits and details and consistency. But, you know, these are the things that he's going through this now, and he's starting to find his groove a little bit. And then you just hope he can ride that wave of momentum and confidence. And then, you know, next year, all these experiences that he's going through, he'll be better for because he's gone through them.
Is this clearly a case in Tomic's case where his skating, getting better, getting quicker, has allowed his offensive skills to show?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look early in the season, he wanted to make a lot of plays kind of standing still with his hands. And so it's, even if you beat the guy, you don't have any separation speed, so then that guy's right on you. And I think what you're seeing now is he's playing a little bit more north-south. He's really moving his feet. He's a big, strong kid. He's powerful. And then when you get that speed, then you can use your hands to protect the puck or bring it out there. You don't have to beat the guy under the triangle one-on-one all the time. But, yeah, he's starting to find it.
Last one for me, Coach. Yeah. I was pleased to be joined by your injured captain, Ryan Lynn, during the second intermission this evening. And obviously, like you said, these are guys that want to be back in the lineup, that care about this string of tough results. But the thing that jumped out for me in speaking with him was just how much happiness and joy and optimism there still is for the future of this team, maybe not this season, but beyond into next year. Obviously, seven losses in a row is difficult on the group. And you kind of touched on this before, managing the emotions and feelings after games like this. But has it been tough for you as a coach to try and keep them focused on, yes, the fact you might be, let's say, shoveling some manure right now, but this could be the fertilizer to grow a rose garden next season?
Yeah, I mean, we have conversations every single day about, you know, where we're at and where we're going. And you know, but I think all these young players, they have so much to play for. We have players that are in their draft year. We have players that are playing to get recruited, to get scouted. We have players that are, you know, getting their opportunity to be in the league and to having the opportunity to showcase themselves and prove, like, I can be a part of this thing not only right now but in the future. And so those are things that are being evaluated every day. As I said, I'm going through this at times is not the most fun in terms of the results, but what you ask your guys is to just continue belief, to continue to work, to continue to improve, to come to the rink every day with an enthusiasm, with a growth mindset, willing to get better. And again, like, when you have guys like Ryan Lynn and, you know, Brett Olson's done a great job, and then Mathis and Caleb Hartman and all these guys, Reskovich, like, they want to be hockey players. They want to be a part of a winning team, and they want to be a part of a great culture. And everybody in that room, and I feel everybody in the organization believes that that's going to happen. And sometimes you have to go through the fires to come out the other end. And for me, I'm not grateful to be going through this, but I'm grateful to have at least been through a similar experience. And, you know, ultimately for me, going through that experience and that team that went through that experience led us to a championship, you know, in a year down the road. And we wouldn't have got that championship had we not gone through, and the players had not lived through the pain points.
Crucible.
Yeah, it's just tough. Like, it's tough, but then you come through it and you wear those battle wounds and you remember it, and the players and the coaches, everybody has a long-term memory. And so we're taking a little bit of medicine and taking some punishment right now, but again, you use that as fuel down the road to be the ones that are administering the punishment and feeling these feelings right now. Like, that's the biggest thing. They have to feel these feelings and they have to go through it, and the staff has to go through it, and it pushes us to get better. Like, regardless of where we're at or the results, you just keep coaching. You know, that's been the message within the staff. Continue to coach, continue to make them better. I don't care if it's 7-2 or 5-1 us. Like, our responsibility as coaches is to continue to improve and develop. And there will never be, whether it's from the coaches or the players, any quit. And so we turn the page and we get ready for tomorrow.
Coach, I'll warn you, I got three, okay?
Yep.
You talked about last year, Tynan Lawrence. Are you surprised how high he's ranked right now, a player you had?
No, he's awesome.
What's he, about top four?
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot like Ryan. Like, they're buddies. They play different positions, but he's just so competitive and he cares so much. And him and Ryan are cut from the same cloth where, you know, these young players, 16, 17 years old, like, when I coached Tynan, he could have 2 goals and an assist in a 4-3 loss, and he was furious.
Really?
And if we won 3-2 and he was -1 and left off the score sheet, he was the happiest kid in the locker room. He just loves winning, loves his teammates. He's so competitive. He just, you know, he was so fun to coach. Like, being 16 years old and being a playoff MVP in any junior league is pretty remarkable. And he just grew as a leader. And he went through his transition period, you know, last year as a 16-year-old. And then he really, you know, kind of flourished and took off. So kind of wished he was Western Canadian and maybe we could have got him up to Vancouver. But no, I'm happy for all his success. You know, we're able to text every now and again, and I'm sure he'll be a very high pick here.
Boston College or Boston U?
He's at BU. He's at BU.
Second question, Penticton, Everett, Prince George, and Kelowna. What's your impression of the cream of the crop in this conference?
Yeah, they're all really good. I they're all very different. I think Penticton is just a very mature team. You know, they're structurally sound. They may not have the same, like, high end guys, but they're just deep, and they've got continuity in their lineup. They've been getting good goaltending. Everett, I love the way they play. They're they put a lot of pressure on you. They're fast. They work. They have a tremendous top line, great goaltending, and then they have some high-end skill. PGE, you know, if you look at them, they've got premium players in all three positions, Parischuk, Carrolls, Ravensburg in the net. They're heavy, you know, and especially up in their barn, they're difficult to play. And then Kelowna with their additions, like again, Les one of, you know, he just does so much. He can shoot it, he can make plays, but he competes, he's heavy. You know, Halibert, obviously having him, like, he does a little bit of everything. He can be on your PK, he can play center, he can play wing, he's going to score, he'll finish checks. So yeah, they're all very good opponents, and that's the barometer, right? That's the bar, and our guys are going through it, and they're seeing what it is, and now we just aspire and push to get there.
One more?
If you've got one.
Okay, and then I'll turn it over. The prospects game, you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You know, obviously, for Brett and for Joe, they're chomping at the bit. Their mind's obviously here, and we'll get there and turn our focus once we get through the next little stretch here. Hopefully, Mathis and Ryan, I know they would love to be in that game, but it's probably too early to tell. But I think what I'm most excited about that is, you know, I've gotten to say hello to Mark and to James and some of the other coaches in the league. But when you're competing every day and you're in the battles, it's kind of that cordial, like, hey, how you doing? But there's not much interaction. And so I think for me, being new to the league and just getting to network and meet some of those guys and pick their brains and build relationships, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And same with the players. Like, you know, I coach against a lot of these guys, but getting to see their personalities or getting them to see up close, and might have a little notebook and, you know, try to get some of the strengths and weaknesses down. And then just getting to see Tyus again too. Sparksy, you know, he was a lot of fun to coach, and we miss him, but he's doing great things in Spokane, so it'll be nice to coach him again too.
Well, a difficult night for your group, obviously, and we always appreciate you taking the time, especially on nights like this, Coach.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the time, and good luck administering some punishment of your own tomorrow.
That's the plan.
Rebels.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is. Head coach Parker Burgess of the Vancouver Giants. Like that. Administering punishment, Bill. You want to be the